Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, the government plans to use the Thornton Hall super prison site to house asylum seekers as new tents continue to appear along the Grand Canal in Dublin near the International Protection Office. Now, the site could be operational within weeks, according to the government, as nearly 1,800 people seeking protection await offers of accommodation from the state. For more on this, I'm joined by Jack Horgan-Jones, who's political correspondent with the Irish Times. So, Jack, this site, Thornton Hall, houses. How soon might it be ready? How many people could live there?
So it looks like a matter of weeks, really. They're guiding kind of 4 to 6 weeks. And while there's no firm number put on how many people might ultimately be accommodated there, I think the Irish Independent this morning is reporting hundreds. So it would look to tackle a chunk of that number that you outlined at the top of the report, a chunk of that unaccommodated number of asylum seekers who have come to the country, but we haven't been able to find beds for, but certainly not all of. So if you're looking at this as a kind of potential silver bullet solution, I don't think this is it, but certainly something that gets us some way down the road, at least temporarily, in providing accommodation for those coming in. It looks like that could be part of the answer, and it looks certainly like it's moving into the fast lane.
Mm-hmm. We have had criticisms of government not coming together quickly enough, not using the state land that was available to them. And you yourself spoke to Minister Joe O'Brien, Green Party Minister, on this, who voiced that criticism himself. So I suppose you could ask the question, why is this only happening now?
I think that's a very fair point. We first reported that Thornton Hall was on the menu or being looked at for, I think it was Ukrainian accommodation at the time, but for this kind of this broad strokes problem in March of 2023. So I think that does beg the question, what has been happening with this site since then? And why is it only now that it's, as I say, moving into the fast lane? I think the Taoiseach was on Morning Ireland this morning saying that there have been some changes. Originally, the Thornton Hall site was being looked at for more permanent structures, perhaps modular accommodation. But it does give credence to the idea that these packages of state lands or these potential solutions or partial solutions have just been pinging around the system without a huge amount of impetus behind them. Meanwhile, the scale of the problem has been growing and really hit capacity before Christmas last year, when the government or the state ran out of beds for new and incoming single male applicants for international protection. So I think that it supports what I think what Joe O'Brien was saying, and I understand he got a bit of an ear bashing in government for going out on that. But since then, you've seen the new Taoiseach come in and effectively say the exact same thing. Say, you know, this is Team Ireland. I don't want to hear any more of this kind of silo-based approach and mentality. We all need to pull together. So that certainly would seem to be a repudiation, implicitly, if not explicitly, of the approach that was taken prior to this.
And we have other things happening as well. We have the cuts in payments for Ukrainians who arrived early once the war had started in 2022. They were announced this week. And Simon Harris is talking about reviewing benefits for people who are seeking international protection. What are you hearing about what might be in store there?
Yeah, so as has often been the case with this particular policy challenge, it moves on kind of two sides of the same ledger. On the Ukraine side, we saw those changes brought in earlier on this week, where basically everyone who is in service accommodation, hotels, B&Bs, guest houses and the like, are going to have their welfare rates slashed. And then on the other side, it's, you know, as has been the nature of this particular challenge, it's slightly more slowly moving when it comes to the international protection side. They're doing a six-week review of all entitlements, benefits and so on and so forth that are given to people in that process. A couple of things that the Taoiseach has hinted at fairly heavily so far. He's been out talking about, you know, at what point does the state have to continue or stop paying welfare to people who are in the asylum process, and also this issue of people who have been granted a status, whether it's refugee status or one of the kind of adjacent statuses that gives people leave to remain, effectively stay in the country and work, but who are still in the direct provision system. Now, the opposition has classified these people as being trapped in direct provision. And I think there's some fairness to that, because the alternative has been, you know, you leave direct provision and you go into the private rental sector, more or less. You'd be eligible for HAP and RAS and so on. But we all know the challenges in the private rental sector. But it certainly looks like the state is going to look more closely at the terms and conditions that are attached to staying on in direct provision after you have asylum status or some adjacent status granted, because there's an awful lot of people with that status. I think there was a figure that was reported of around 5,300 people. The government have been writing to those people, reminding them that they can leave, that they quite like them to leave, but I'm not sure they've made massive headway so far on that big number.
All right, Jack Horgan-Jones, thank you very much. I'm joined now also by Olivia Hayden, a volunteer who has been working with asylum seekers living in tents in Dublin City. Olivia, thank you for joining us again, and we're interested to hear how you respond to the Thornton Hall news that the site is going to be used as it would seem a large accommodation centre now for international protection applicants. Is that a welcome move in your view?
It's welcome in one respect, but it is government land where people should be safe, where there would be facilities, sanitation facilities specifically, and other support services that they need if it's run like a direct provision centre. So I think a lot of the men would be happy to receive any accommodation offer once those things are present there. One question we would have is, when will this be ready? It sounds like weeks, but will they be moving people there when everything is set up? Or will it be like other places like Crookling, when they started to move people before the site was really ready to host people and didn't have enough toilets, for example? And how will they be communicating this or doing outreach? Because not everyone is sleeping in the one place at the canal. They're spread throughout the city.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're hearing that it may be operational in 4 to 6 weeks, and that may be enough time to put the facilities in place. Because we have heard in the recent past that the facilities are okay, actually, at Crooksling. We've heard that from the organisation working with them up there, that they seem to be, safety nets seem to be saying that the men who are there are content with the facilities.
Yeah. So now in Crooksling, the majority of people who are there are quite content. It wasn't the case at the start. I think a big part of that was how the move was communicated to the initial group of men who were moved there before St. Patrick's weekend. They didn't understand where they were going. They didn't understand what it was. And I think that's one thing that we've seen as a major gap, is how is the government and its agencies communicating with these people that are supposed to be under its care. That's something that really needs to be looked at, especially if they're going to do a movement to something that has been called a prison in the media. These men will be scared that they're going to be in a prison if it's not clearly stated what this is and how they will be able to come and go freely, which isn't the case in some direct provision centres at the moment for security reasons. So we'd also want to see, is the local community going to be well communicated with and liaised with before anyone is moved there for those reasons.
All right, Olivia, thank you very much for joining us. And earlier we heard from Jack Horgan-Jones.